I wish that had the same effect on members of the House. Good morning, members of the House. This is very likely to be our last day of session. I hate to promise that too prematurely. There are a few conference committee reports still out there. But I am getting the right response, that's for sure, yeah. Today's the 37th day of the session. Today is March 3rd, 2005. We're about to do roll call, and I have noticed the last few days representatives appear to be distracted and have been answering roll call in an unusual and sordid ways. But usually roll call is traditionally answered with here. And roll call votes are usually aye or no. And I've heard a strange combination of all three of those. So, Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson.
Here.
Bagby. Barnard.
Here.
Berger. Brechtel.
Members of the House, it's not too late to change all of your committee assignments.
I'm sorry, Brown, Buchanan, Buholt, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Escobel, Gage, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammond, Harshman, Harvey, Hester, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Latta, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Horberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Senlek, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watts, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Jorgensen excused, 59 present, one excused.
Prayer today will be offered by our very own chaplain, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and what a privilege and an honor, and especially with these fine young people here in front. I would like to quote a verse from, I think I'll try to do it from memory, from Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stimulate each other to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day draw near. So with that, let's bow in a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to serve. What an unique opportunity to serve with each one here and in service of the state. And as we do this last day, Lord, help us to honor you and to do what is spiritually correct, not necessarily what politically correct. Father, we pray for each one, for those men in uniform, for health concerns that, especially in our own body of legislators. Pray for traveling mercies as each one goes home, and especially we pray for your guidance through the rest of the day. For we pray in your name. Amen.
on?
Members of the House, if you haven't noticed, we have some very special guests in the chamber today. We're joined by the third and fourth grade students of Hobbs Elementary, which is located here in Cheyenne. We're going to be lucky enough that they're going to present us a patriotic program entitled A Salute to Wyoming and the USA. Amy Simpson is the music teacher from Hobbs Elementary and is leading the student group today. And there's some sordid relationship with Representative Simpson, a cousin-in-law, something like that. Yeah. So please join us. Please join Amy and the rest of the Hobbs Elementary third and fourth grade. Let's welcome them. Amy, the floor is yours.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, we're very proud and honored to be your guest today. This was a very last-minute thing, and we were going to do whatever we could to get here. So on behalf of the third and fourth graders at Hobbs, my fellow colleagues and these students' teachers who are scattered around doing other jobs for me, and my assistant principal, Mr. Greg Garvin, who joined us as well, we'd like to thank you for inviting us to perform. We will be presenting a portion of our program that we performed last week. It's called A Salute to Wyoming and the USA. And unfortunately, we can't do the whole show because of space constraints. So feel free to imagine instruments being played and folk dances being done and all this kind of stuff that went on to accompany our musical numbers. And if you should be moved by the music, go ahead and hop up and dance yourself, okay? And there is a singing part. And if you look in your program a little bit later, there will be a little sing-along here. And we'll discuss that a little bit later. So I'd like, with no further ado, I'd like to bring you Sing America Sing. Thank you.
the mountain. Let my song be a song of people.
Let the mountain sound the call.
Let the rhythm beat the drum of justice.
Let the words be a testament of our gratitude that proudly declares.
I am American.
Thank you.
my country, fill my cup home.
Thank you.
Amy and Hobbs Elementary. Let's thank them again. Give them another round. Thank you very much. Chairman Wasserberger, I'm sure they everyone will appreciate you emptying the candy jars for them. Yes. Let's get this. Let's get that speaker out of the way, and then you'll have privilege of the floor.
Hey, you did a great job. Thank you.
Representative Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to take this opportunity to recognize one of our finest state employees, and I have our former State Superintendent of Public Instruction up there, Judy Catchpole, and Judy worked with this fine lady for many, many years. And if I could have Rita Watson come in from the north door, please. Oh, she's right here. She's right here. Rita, come on in here.
Thank you.
We want to take a moment to celebrate a dedicated state employee that is celebrating 35 years of service with the state this year, Rita Watson.
Thank you.
Dr. Blankenship likes to say Rita is the embodiment of customer service, and for those of you who have had the pleasure of dealing with her, you know how true that is. Every time I call the State Department, she recognizes my voice and does everything she can to help me out with finding everybody that's in the State Department of Education. But she also serves an example of dedication, commitment, strong work ethic, and of course as a role model for women and a true leader in the Cheyenne African American community. So she's just a phenomenal lady. She has achieved much in her career over the past 35 years. She joined the state on November 3rd, 1969. I'm trying to remember if I was born then. I think I was. But the representative wanted to was not. The Department of Education had the fortune of retaining her services in 1975, and they never let her go. She has stayed there for those years. She has served as a secretary, a unit secretary, division secretary, and became executive assistant to the State Superintendent of Public Instruction in 1991, and I think she served under Judy Catchpole. So she has served that same role under Diana Ullman for 4 years, Judy Catchpole for 8, and now for Dr. Blankenship for 2 years. We have been graced by her presence for 35 wonderful years, and we hope there will be many more. And members of the House, let's welcome her great dedication to the people of Wyoming. Thank you, Rita Blankenship.
Representative Vexelbrell, I would like to get the equipment off the floor. Would you mind just standing at ease for just a minute? House will stand at ease for a minute until we finish getting the rest of the speakers off.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor, please? I think in the South Gallery we have our freshman finest. No? Not yet?
They have something. They're up to something. I don't know what it is. Knopf, wait through. Representative Harshman.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Members on the floor, I was handed this paper and asked to read it. The freshman members have gone south, certainly, in the South Balcony. And I would just ask you not to kill the messenger. I'm just delivering a message. And I really don't know what they're up to. Your guess is as good as mine. But they are certainly showing their better side. And we appreciate that. Okay, here it goes. Be it hereby resolved that the freshman class of 2005 wishes to express its profound appreciation for the generosity and kindness offered by its fellow legislators throughout the 58th legislative session. Furthermore, the freshman class of 2005 extends its sincere gratitude for the extraordinary education offered by the House leadership, the Legislative Service Office, the House staff, and clerks. Be it further resolved that having been duly elected and having served 37 days, The freshman class of 2005 shall henceforth be known as the Wyoming House of Representatives, class of 2005.
Well, welcome to the house, freshmen. Yes, thank you. You've certainly been interesting. Representative Esquivel.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
You may.
Mr. Speaker, let me take this time to just thank you for your leadership, and it's been a pleasure, and really enjoyed it. And Mr. Speaker, members of the House, you know, we've been very privileged to meet some very special people and be entertained by some great entertainers. And we just recently saw one of our great state employees. I'd like to introduce you to one of our other, another one of our great state employees. And Mr. Speaker, because of the specialness of this situation, with your permission, I'd like to have Mrs. Leslie Loudon and Ms. Trish Pollock come down. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Leslie, Trish, would you please come down to the front? As they're coming down, I'll just briefly state some of one of the reasons that we're honoring or recognizing Ms. Trish Pollock. And as you can see, this is a blow up of the Library Journal. It's a national publication, and Trish. Would you please, Steve? Thanks. And I've got the first publication here with me. Hey, all right, Steve. Great. And that's round. That's the end of round one. Now you're round two. I always wanted to have a ringer, but I wasn't planning on something like that. Trish, and with Leslie, would you come over here, please? Members of the body, Mr. Speaker, this is Trish Pollock and Leslie Biden, our director of the State Library. Let me just read to you a little bit about Trish over here. 26 years ago, Trish Pollock started as a page. She was able to start 26 years ago because she was granted a waiver by the Labor Department on the child labor laws. She actually started at 4 years of age. No, I just made. Anyway, she started as a page, shoving books at the Wyoming State Library. In the years, she moved up to cataloging. Even at the entry level as a library assistant, she loved it. She mastered not only all the mechanics of cataloging, but most significantly, the philosophy that cataloging is a public service activity. Says Leslie Bowden, Wyoming State Librarian, for her excellence in her position, now resource sharing specialist at the library, and the work that she has done for Wyoming paraprofessionals and support staff, Trish Pollock has been named Library Journal's Paraprofessional of the Year 2005.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Mr. House Majority Floor Leader, members of the House. It's a great honor that I received this award, and I see many of my friends from my personal life back there that are working for you members. I can't tell you how proud I am to be a member of the Wyoming library community. Wyoming's a great state, and our library community is no exception. I go to a lot of conferences and tell people what we've done in our state in libraries, and they're so envious. One of the things that they're the most envious of is that you, our legislators, have funded the extra databases for all of our residents. And I personally get to use those databases because I work a lot with interlibrary loans, And when you funded those databases and made them available for everybody, you made a lot of information that used to have to go through an interlibrary loan process available to everybody at their fingertips. And I thank you greatly for that. Thank you. And this award is really for Wyoming. I'm just so excited to see Wyoming's name on the cover instead of California, New Jersey, New York. So yay, Wyoming!
Thank you. Let's get some work done. Journal Committee Report. Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 2nd, 2005 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Goggles, Representatives Wanitzer.
Thank you. We have a little unfinished business. I think the doctor of the day may still be hanging around, but it's Randy Johnston, MD of Cheyenne, and once again, the nurse of the day is our own favorite, Dr. Miley. We do have one enrolled act for signature, and that is House of Rolled Act number 133.
House and Rolled Act number 133 being original House Bill number 293, an act relating to controlled substances.
I'm about to sign the House and Rolled Act number 133 being original Act 293. I have so signed. We also have one joint conference committee report that's available for our discussion. That would be the Joint Conference Report on House Bill 83. Senate message is 477. You should have just received it. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move Senate message number 477, the Joint Conference Committee Report on House Bill 83, Medical Review Panel 2. And ladies and gentlemen, you have been handed out to you the Engrolled Act here. That means it's somewhere between the enrolled and it's amended and it's, what is the next stage? Engrossed. So this is Engrolled. And this shows you what happened. You can see the conference committee report. We deleted about 12 Senate amendments and pretty much took the bill back to the House version. We cleaned it up a bit, agreed to some timeline changes, and I'll just walk through the engrolled bill with you. You see on page 1, lines 3 through 10, that's some additions to the title, and you'll see throughout the bill how we do that. There were no amendments to page 2. Page 3, line 6, under the definition of malpractice claim, we just added the word or claim. So if someone's trying to figure out what the word claim means, they can find it here in this definition. The highlighting is a bit faint here, so if I miss one, point it out to me. I guess what we did on page 2, I'm sorry, we did delete the subparagraph A1, which was just said that the purpose of the act was to create a medical review panel as authorized by the Constitution, etc. We really don't need that in there. And then we kept the other two purpose paragraphs and renumbered. At the top of that page, it is now called the Medical Review Panel Act of 2005. We wanted to distinguish that. Then page 3, that's the definition of malpractice claim where we added the word claim. Page 4, line 11. You may remember in the House version, wherever the word claim appeared, we had an amendment that had it read application for claim review, because it was a bit unclear in the bill where the words application for claim review appeared a couple times. We wanted to make it consistent, and the way we did that was use those terms. We went back to just using the word claim. There's nothing in here about application for claim review. We just refer to it as the claim. So on line 11, you see the word claim there, and that change appears numerous times throughout the bill. Page 5, this was a Senate amendment that we did adopt, where the director may use the Office of Administrative Hearings as necessary. That is, we do have an Office of Administrative Hearings. They conduct administrative hearings, say, for instance, the Workers' Compensation Division and others. Those hearing officers are familiar with medical terms. There are a variety of ways that we use them. But we also did not want the director, who is an employee of the Attorney General's office, to necessarily be the hearing officer. That person is the administrative arm of the Attorney General's office and this panel, and we wanted as much distance there as possible to maintain objectivity. Paragraph C on page 5, we did accept the Senate change to this paragraph. Rather than $500 per each half day, it's now $500 per each day, for a total of $2,000 per claim reviewed, and that includes some of the preparation at $200 per day. Page 6. We added some language here to just clarify that the submission to the panel could be waived by both parties, and this is really the first instance where we point that out, and it was felt that we needed that here because the next part of that sentence says that no complaint shall be filed in any court. Well, that's not true if both parties waive the claim submission to the review panel. Then line 11 is the standard kind of application for claim review change. Line 13, we identified in our discussions that here's how the timeline works. You file your claim, and then the claimant has 60 days to file their expert report that is required under 1519B, which is the next section. So you have 60 days, and upon that, the end of that 60-day period, or when the respondent or the healthcare provider is served with that, they then get 60 days to answer, rather than 30 days as we had it in the original House version. We felt we wanted to be consistent. When you're dealing with experts and trying to get expert reports, it takes a considerable amount of effort and time to do that, and expense also. So 60 days after filing, the claimant files their expert report. The respondent then has 60 days, and you can see here that this paragraph, page 6, lines 9 through 14, talks about the running of the applicable limitation period in a malpractice action is tolled. Now, that means it's extended. So if you have a 2-year statute of limitations on the claim, you file your claim with the panel 1 year and 364 days, that limitation period stops running. And then it stops until, and does not begin again, now this is lines 11 and 12, until 30 days after the panel's final decision, or 75 days after the panel's last hearing, whichever occurs earlier. In the bill, we noticed in the House version that this tolling period could run on indefinitely. And we didn't want that to happen. And that would happen the way it was written if the healthcare provider didn't file an answer. Well, it needs to cut off somewhere, so this is what we arrived at. So the statute of limitation period begins again 30 days after the final decision, or if there is no final decision, 75 days after the panel's last hearing, and whichever occurs earlier. Line 16, you don't see this here, but after the words panel members, the House version said, and witnesses. And this paragraph gives absolute immunity. we felt that everyone felt that the witnesses should not be accorded absolute immunity, but certainly the panel members should be. So we struck the words "and witnesses" from that paragraph. The last line of well, let me see. It was just the cleanup of application for claim review. Then we go to page 7. Just cleanup amendments on this one in terms of deleting the word case and inserting claim, and then the application for claim review in two instances. Page 8, subparagraph B, we did move this from 45 days to 60 days. Now, this is for the claimant to submit their expert report. This is the paragraph that requires the statement prepared and signed by an expert in the specialty or subspecialty of malpractice at issue. That is the House language there. The Senate had an amendment to it that was somewhat awkward, and we maintained the House position but kicked it up to 60 days. That was it on 8. Page 9. Cleanups in subparagraph D that begins on 8. I guess it's all on 8. Then on subparagraph E that begins on 8, this is where the healthcare provider answers the claim, and rather than 30 days, we've given them 60 days to do that after service of the medical records release. Actually, that is an error there in the engrolled version. The way that reads is 60 days after service of the statement required under subsection B. And let me track that in the committee report. Okay, well, we need to correct that. It shouldn't say medical records release.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, is that a reviser's error? Is that something we need to take
care
of?
Let me just track that here. Page 9, line 8. Beginning on line 7, the healthcare provider shall answer the claim. Within 60 days after service of the statement Okay, Mr. Speaker, I got a little sidetracked there. So it reads, the healthcare provider shall answer the claim within 60 days after service of the statement required under subsection B. That's the expert report of this section, and shall submit a, and then we deleted the word statement and inserted medical records release authorizing the panel to inspect all healthcare provider records and information pertaining to the claim except those records which are, and we struck privileged and put in confidential, which is the proper term there. And then on lines, if we're looking at the engrolled version, at page 9, line 8, we inserted the word timely, related to filing of the answer. If the healthcare provider fails to timely file an answer to the claim, the claimant may immediately pursue the claim in a court of competent jurisdiction. Then in section 1520 on page 9, going over to page 10, we had some changes. On page 9, line 17, instead of reading two members of the state bar, it now reads two attorneys licensed in this state.
and then and one layperson, and we inserted unanimously chosen by the first four members to clarify that that's how that person is chosen, and that's also mentioned later on in the bill. Then the next change on lines 21 and 22, if we inserted, well, it says if feasible, we inserted the healthcare provider members of the panel shall be from the healthcare provider's profession or specialty. And what the House version said that if feasible, one member of the panel shall be from the healthcare provider's profession or specialty. So this would just make it both. Page 10 of the enrolled bill, there are the only changes to subparagraph D have to do with the application for claim review language. Subparagraph C on page 11. Now this talks about what the panel does. At or prior to the hearing, the panel may, by majority vote, we added that, select a chairman from among its members to preside over the panel proceedings. We inserted that discretionary language so the panel could request a hearing officer from the Office of Administrative Hearings to preside over the panel proceedings. If there's a particularly difficult claim, and they believe that an independent administrative hearing officer would be more appropriate than simply a chairman selected from the members, they have the ability to do that, and I think that flexibility is needed there. Certainly there are some claims where they'll be simple and they can deal with them within their own members. Subparagraph D on page 11 of the enrolled version, only changes were the application for claim review language. No changes to E. Subparagraph F, this was the same application for claim review change throughout that paragraph. Going over to page 12 of the enrolled version, subparagraph A, the hearing date. Now, because we extended the claimant's filing of their expert reports to 60 days and then gave the respondent 60 days, the language we had here about the hearing date shall not be more than 120 days after the director receives the application or the claim didn't work. So now it's 120 days after submission of the statement required under 1519B, which is the claimant's expert report. And then a change on the application for claims. We did add the word answers on line 18. This means that the director provides the panel members copies of all claims, answers, briefs, etc. Subparagraph B, beginning on 12 and going over to page 13. Page 13, line 3, the original House version said a record of the hearing may be made if stipulated by the parties. We made it mandatory. It's the only change in that paragraph. Subparagraph D, we added the word beginning on line 13 to clarify that this, if a panel were to take a case under advisement or request additional facts and then have a supplemental hearing, that date shall be set for a date not later than 30 days from the beginning date of the original hearing, unless the parties consent in writing. And that language was unless the claimant's attorney agrees in writing. We thought it would be appropriate to have all parties agree to that particular extension. Section 1522 discusses panel deliberations. When you get to subparagraph B on page 14, we added the word final before decision on lines 10 and 13 to clarify that this is what we're actually talking about, not any decision, but the final decision. And we did that also on line 17. Then going over to page 15, lines 7 and 8, line 7 was a change concerning the application for claim review language, and line 8 we inserted final before decision as we had done in prior paragraphs. Then we get to, that's the end of section 1 of the bill. We then get to section 2, No changes there. Section 3 did change a bit. The initial House version said there is appropriated from the general fund to the medical review panel $500,000, or as much thereof as necessary to carry out the purposes of this act. That is now subparagraph A. We added the Senate's version of subparagraph B because they did put some money into the bill for the Attorney General of $250,000, or as much thereof as necessary. And the Attorney General is authorized up to 2 full-time equivalent positions to carry out the purposes of this act. Now, that that allows that the AG certainly would have one probably full-time employee and then possibly one part-time or full-time employee administrative assistant to handle these two. It's estimated that there would be approximately 100 claims filed per year, and there's some flexibility here. They don't have to hire two, but they're given that ability. And I believe the Attorney General got that on in the Senate with the consent of the Senate, and we concurred with that because we had not addressed the administrative portion of that in the panel funding itself. Then in Section 4, you'll see lines of the engrolled bill, page 16, lines 16 and 17, we added the words, except as provided in subsection B. This act is effective July 1, 2005. Subsection B says that the rulemaking authority in this bill under 9.2.15.17b and the ability to use the administrative dollars is effective immediately. So the Attorney General's office could hire, rulemaking could be conducted, and by July 1st, 2005, we think that this panel could be up and running with some rules. However, it may take them longer to adopt rules. We did leave in the definition, and that's it on the all sections. We did leave in the definitions of reasonable probability and substantial evidence. The Senate had taken those out. We explained to them that those were simply definitions out of the rules that were adopted in the 80s, and they concurred on putting those back in. So we're substantially back to the House version. It's a better version, actually, with a more generous timeline to make sure that things can occur in a way that you can actually get some good expert testimony on both sides. And we also added back in the ability to call witnesses to this hearing. The Senate had taken that out. And it was our strong feeling that if this is the first opportunity for the claimant and the health care provider to see each other face to face, let's let it happen. We did pass the I'm Sorry bill last year in the special session that you may remember, to allow a healthcare provider to tell someone they're sorry without jeopardizing a claim against them or opening themselves up to liability. We also felt that there ought to be some cross-examination. If somebody's going to put up an expert report, that expert possibly should stand for cross-examination. It isn't the full hearing, but it's not just attorneys filing briefs for the panel to look at and read and then issue. What the Senate wanted was the decision would be potential malpractice or no potential malpractice. Yet they left in the definitions of substantial evidence and reasonable probability, and it seemed to us to be highly contradictory that you would do that. Let the decision speak for itself. If it's a lengthy decision, so be it, but at least it would have the basis for the decision, the expert opinions, whatever it might be. We still have admissibility. The Senate and the House agreed on admissibility, that the judge would determine the admissibility of it. However, the House's version is broader to allow the judge to see more things rather than just this recommendation of no malpractice or potential malpractice or no potential malpractice.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Is there any further discussion? Representative Miley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to be sure that I have have this clarified. One of the director is going to be the Attorney General or his designee, if I understand it correctly. I've got a couple questions. One has to do with, again, the rulemaking authority. Exactly who's going to do that, because I think that will play a major role in how this is eventually administered. So I would like to have some clarification on who that's going to be. The other thing is on the they mentioned about the I'm sorry bill, and we passed that this last year, but if I understood it correctly, that the physician can say I'm sorry for the outcome. But if he says, I'm sorry because I really screwed up and I did this and this and this wrong, that there was a possibility that that could still be used against him in a court of law. And I just wanted to have that clarified. The other things I want to be sure, and I think I understood this correctly. Number one, people can opt out so that this is not mandated. Number two, the admissibility from this to a court of law has to do with the judge's discretion, not with the any of the panel members, but with the judge's discretion. And the evidence is still substantial and not the preponderance of evidence, which I understand is what is usually used in most civil cases. But of this one, I understand it's just substantial. And if those are all true, that will help me decide on how I vote on this conference committee report. Hopefully somebody can answer those questions for me. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What I'd like to do with the body's permission and the speaker's permission is to answer the good representative from Laramie County and then distill this bill down to its essence about how it works so that when people ask, you can explain it. With respect to the rulemaking question, the Attorney General is charged with the rulemaking. With respect to the I'm sorry bill, you can say I'm sorry, but you can't say I'm sorry, I cut off the wrong leg. The I cut off the I'm sorry part is confidential. The cut off the wrong leg would not be. And that's under the I'm sorry bill, not this act. And then this bill does contain an opt-out provision. And the physician can opt out without the consent of the other party, or both parties can opt out. Let me distill the bill down to its essence. In other words, how does this bill act as a screening tool as it was constitutionally mandated? Well, this bill, as it's in front of you, has an extra layer of strength that the act that we had before didn't have. If you look at page 8, lines 13 to 20, you have to have an expert witness statement before you even get to the panel. So you have to go out, and the expert witness statement has to detail the alleged malpractice and the evidence supporting the alleged malpractice. And if you don't have it, you don't get to the panel. And that expert witness has to testify under oath, under cross-examination, that expert testimony is recorded, and that expert is liable for his own negligence if he lies. So you don't even get to the panel until you've got that expert examination. That's the first layer of screening. The second layer of screening is the panel itself. If you look at the changes in language, if feasible, two of the panelists will be from the same specialty as the physician against whom the claim is made. So not only do you have an expert statement from somebody in that specialty, you also have two other experts in that field evaluating that expert report. So there's a second layer of screening. The third part of the process is a face-to-face meeting. I think in terms of what the voters charged us to do, which is to set up an effective screening panel to allow meritorious claims to proceed while screening out those claims that did not have merit, I think that this bill is a fine tool to do that, and I think that this body should be proud to pass it.
Is there any further questions or debate? Anyone else? First time. First time. Second time, Representative Miley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to
to me, broaden this just a little bit. I appreciate what the Joint Conference Committee has done and with all the hard work that they have done. One of the, I still have some concerns, and one of the concerns that I have, I just want to be sure. One of the things that we kind of, I think, have been missing in this whole discussion is the fact that what we're trying to do here is create an environment in which we can assure that there will be doctors in the state of Wyoming and that people will have access to medical care. The only thing out of the, there is five precepts that have been used in one of the states which seem to work well in moderating medical liability premium increases. And those five things have to do with tort reform or caps on amount of non-economic damages, the medical review panel, collateral payment sources, expert witness, and the periodic payment. And as you recall, we went through the deal on the caps. We're one of four states that has the prohibition on caps, and that was defeated in the general election. The medical review panel was passed. Regarding the caps, you can argue a little bit as to whether accurate information was given to the voters as they voted on that, and I think that is a big question. The collateral source of payment of those bills that we had here both died in committee. The expert witness bill, remember, we killed it here in the House. The periodic payment thing never came up. So the only thing we have left is the medical review panel. And we have to be sure that it's going to do what we are, what we're trying to do to create an environment to get physicians here in the state of Wyoming. I'm real concerned about this because all of our surrounding states, as you know, have most of those other avenues in place, and we're sort of an island, and I'm concerned that access to medical care will continue to be a real problem for the people in our state, and I'm real concerned about the patients who are in labor who have to drive 70 miles to get obstetrical care, and I don't see that really changing with anything that we've done so far. We can go home and tell our constituents that we've done something to help alleviate the medical crisis in Wyoming, and that we will have access to care, and we will be able, I think, to convince our constituents that we've done that, and politically speaking, that will be in our best interest. The problem is the people that we have to convince are the doctors who are looking for places to practice. And we'll be able to convince them that Wyoming has created an environment in which they will be well received and they will not have to worry about their medical liability rates going up very high. And as you know, we're having a lot of difficulty recruiting obstetricians to the state of Wyoming. And I talked with a medical student, a third year medical student at the University of Washington who's gone through our system, who would like to come. He and his brother, who is also a physician in a medical school back east, would like to come back to Wyoming to practice medicine. Unfortunately, they're both married to spouses who are going into obstetrics. And their spouses said, we're not going back to Wyoming. We cannot afford the premiums in Wyoming. So we've got four doctors.
This is Dr. Myler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I want people to know, let's be sure that we have done what is right to continue medical care in the state of Wyoming. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for your time.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the conference report? Any other discussion on the conference report? Question being called. We are voting on the motion to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 83. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Bechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Filt, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Lott, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lott, no to aye. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 53 ayes, 6 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 83. We do have another Joint Conference Committee report, and for your information, the governor has also moved up the signings of those bills that was scheduled at 1:30. He's moved that up to 11:30. So as we try and work through this, I would like to do this other Joint Conference report that would finish up the bill, but we have to do the message from the Senate first, as well as sign one and roll that. Message from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, your Senate File 19, State Lands Trust Responsibilities, the Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 on the bill as below by the vote indicated, ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. This is Senate File 19, State Lands Trust Responsibilities.
Thank you. Sign him and roll that. Second message, I'm sorry.
Message number 497, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 41, Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act. Pursuant, the Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 24, no 6. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Pursuant to Joint Rule 2-4, the Senate recedes from its non-concurrence and adopts all amendments to Senate File 41 adopted by the House. The bill has been transmitted for enrollment.
Signing of Enrolled Act. Enrolled Act for our consideration is Senate Enrolled Act 111.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 111 being original Senate File Number 140 and act relating to hospital districts.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 111 being Senate File, original Senate File 140. I have so signed. We're now on the we're now willing to discuss Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1, the House Bill 40. You should have that in your desk. Give me some indication, if not, that that's been passed out to you. I see some waving of papers. All right. This is the revisor's bill. House Bill 40 is the revisor's bill. So in that order of business of adoption of the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 40, the revisor's bill, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move your concurrence on House Bill 40 and ask your favorable consideration. Essentially, this is the revisor's bill. It was a tough battle to slug it out with the Senate. It took about 5 seconds, and they signed, of course, all three copies, and it's basically for internal changes with legislation that we created this year, things that had to be changed in statutory language that fit the the legislation that we approved this year. So, Mr. Speaker, I would ask your adoption.
Is there any further discussion? I do have a correction. It's just the budget bill that's been moved up to 11:30. Just the budget bill. Anyway, is there any other discussion regarding the joint conference report? Seeing none, we are voting on the motion to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 40. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Bechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buell, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlek, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Davison, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 40. Members of the House, there are still some conference reports out there. Again, if it was an original Senate file, the Senate has to act on that first. If it's an original House bill, we act on it first. I have received... Has this been distributed? If you would check your inbox again, do you have the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 19? Let's act on it then. Chairman Hageman.
Mr. Speaker, could I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Well, this is kind of a nostalgic morning for me here. I worked on that bill on the medical panel 20 years ago. Worked with Rita Watson for 18 years, and I've got 5 kids in the 3rd grade in the state of Wyoming. And also, we used to entertain all the 4th graders at our place every year. We used to have all the 4th grade kids from our county come to our place for dinner, and I think that it's been so long ago that Representative Buchanan was one of them. He was a cute little kid. But really, Mr. Speaker, I wanted to introduce my sister Kathy, who came here to help me celebrate my birthday yesterday. This is my sister Kathy Hall from Grand Junction, Colorado.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Zwanitzer, privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker. Yes, please proceed.
Members of the body, it's not too often I get people from my alma mater high school here, but if you'd look in the West Gallery, we have some East High students, and if you'd please stand up and recognize them.
Chairman Hageman.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I move that we do concur on, adopt the conference report on Senate File 19. We did meet with the Senate, and we had taken this as a task force to spend a year studying how we handle our state lands, and we had the original bill had in there the governor and the secretary of state and so on, and we took those out and substituted the other ones, and but the Senate wanted those back in there, so we put them back in there, but we did make it so that it had to be them themselves instead of sending a substitute with them. That was a main change. We did put the governor and the secretary of state and the state auditor and the state treasurer and the superintendent of schools back into this task force, but we made it so that they had to do it themselves rather than sending a substitute in their place. And everything else is about the same. They had taken the $30,000 out, and we put it back in here in the House, and it's still in here. That's just about all the changes. We made it so there's one representative in the forest products industry or the forest profession. That was in the House version. And so really we've got it back except for those four positions. This will work well, and I would urge you to vote yes on adopting this report.
Is there any further discussion on the conference report? Any further questions? Question being called. We are voting on whether to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 19. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Bechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buell. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Day. Gilmore. Dingery. Boggles. Hageman. Hammond. Harshman. Harvey. Hastert. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta. Lockhart. Lebno. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Henderson. Peterson. Filt. Powers. Forberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to adopt Joint Conference Committee Number 1 to Senate File 19. Again, members of the House, there are still a few conference committees floating out there. We will not have to act on Senate File 41, the Wildlife Trust Fund, because the Senate did basically recede to the House position. So we're going to take a much to a certain representative dismay who wanted to leave at lunchtime. We're going to take a leisurely lunchtime, get everyone time to, you're the one, to finish up those conference reports. And so the House will stand. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have any announcements or anything? The House will stand at ease until 2 p.m.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor for a quick minute.
Absolutely, Chairman Elloway.
Today is Thursday and it's Kiwanis. If there's any Kiwanians that want to go with me right now to Kiwanis, at the Hitchy Post, I'd be glad to take you.